Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. Art Burns here, you there. Really excited to be here with you today, and definitely a little bit more excited today than I was yesterday. You know, just energetically is all I mean. Remember, there's a distinct and important difference between excitement and enthusiasm. And enthusiasm will oftentimes lead to excitement, right? And so I'm always enthusiastic to do these podcasts. Like, even if I come on some days, I'm like, you know, I'm just really not that excited today. That's an energetic thing, right? That's a level of energy that you're feeling, right? That's a nervous system response, right? Excitement means that you're pumped up, right? You got your blood's flowing, your heart's pumping, you're ready to go, right? But that has nothing to do with enthusiasm, right? It's completely different. And so, again, I don't want you to ever think that when I come on here that I'm not enthusiastic and I'm not really just loving doing these podcasts, even on days where I'm not feeling well, okay? Except for the other day when I had that migraine headache. Nobody wanted to see me that day, trust me. There was nothing I had to offer you that day. But I am definitely feeling more energetic today than I was yesterday. And so that's good. I hope you're feeling energetic today too. I hope whatever you're feeling today, I hope that you're able to be with that feeling. You know, that's really the key. You know, yes, I hope that whatever that feeling is a pleasant feeling. I hope that it's making, you know, it's bringing you what you're looking for in your life. You know, I hope that you're attracting the positive benefits of life, you know, with your happiness and with your energy, right? I hope that's happening for you. But if it's not, it's okay. Right? It's okay. You know, sometimes we're just not in that place, and that's okay. Right? The key is to stay regulated throughout, right? To remain you, even when you're feeling down, which means to express the fact that you're feeling down, right? Which means to honor, like, hey, look, this is not my day. Right? I'm just, you know, it's just, you know, take your pick of the reasons why, but I'm just not feeling it today. And that's okay. Right? So I'm going to adjust my activities a little bit, right? So maybe if I have the choice of greeting customers in my job, or I have the choice of filing and organizing something in the back room, I might choose filing and organizing something in the back room today. Right? And that's okay. Right. And so we're all, you know, but the thing to remember, though, is that we're all going through these ups and downs. Right. And the fact of the matter is that and when I say, you know, I'm sorry, the fact of the matter is that we all are going through these kind of things, and everybody's got something different. Right. So I'm going to tell a personal story today that's just going to, like, you know, it's going to make you giggle and maybe cry a little bit too, you know, but the fact of the matter is that we all, you know, everybody's going through something different. And to what, you know, what, and this really ties into what we're going to talk about today, is that, you know, what I might feel is a big deal, right? Like, you might not, like, I might look at what you're going through and be like, dude, that's nothing. Come on, get up, you know, come on, get on with it. You know, we can do this. You can do this, right? It's very possible that I would feel that way. However, that is not only very inaccurate, it's also unfair, right? Because the thing is that whatever you're feeling, whatever you're experiencing, whatever trauma, whatever difficulty, whatever, you know, pain and suffering that you're feeling is unique to you. And it is part of your experience, right? And what that means is that it's relative, right? Like, you know, your trauma based on your life and your life circumstances, well, then that's really very, very real for you, right? And so even though my trauma might be more severe in some way, maybe not, it doesn't invalidate your trauma, right? It doesn't invalidate whatever you're suffering through just because I've been through something maybe more difficult, right? And it's a really important concept to get, right? Because a lot of times, you know, we watch the news, we hear stories from people, we listen to, you know, songs about tragedy, we read books about tragedy, we listen to podcasts, and, you know, we see stuff happening all around us. Now, whether that's people that we're actually, you know, in touch with and connected with, right? Like maybe we know someone who's gone through, you know, like for instance, you know, maybe you have a friend who's lost, you know, a very close loved one, right? And then, you know, you have a plant that dies, right? I'm not trying to minimize anything here. I'm just trying to make, yes, it's a goofy kind of superlative example here that I'm making, but it's just what comes to mind, right? Like let's say somebody, you know, has a family member pass away, right? That's devastating, right? And I have a plant that passes away. Well, it doesn't take away from their pain for me to feel my pain, right? But a lot of times we might think that, right? We might think like, well, I don't deserve to be sad about my plant dying because my friend is mourning for this, you know, like look at what they're going through. Right? Their trauma is so much worse than mine. So I don't have any right to feel bad about mine. And that, my friends, is where we start some problems, right? Because if we don't honor that trauma, right? That suffering, that difficulty in our life, whatever that is, right? Whether it's a traumatic experience in your life, or it's a slow burn of many experiences, right? That's something that's real, you know, which I found out the hard way. You know, a lot of times we think of, you know, things like, you know, trauma as a single event, but, you know, but having some, you know, say parents who are unloving and you know, hard, you know, not to the point where, you know, they're child abuse, where it's like, oh my gosh, they should be put in jail. You know, just, oh, they're kind of strict, they're a little cold, they're, you know, but they're parents, right? They're feeding you, they're putting clothes on your bed, they're sending you to school, right? Well, you know, guess what? You know, it still hurts. And it still causes the trauma, right? And so this is specifically, very specifically what I want to tell you today, right? Is that and I think I just digress. I think I lost my place here, and I'm sorry, but I started thinking about my parents, and everything got thrown off, so I apologize for that. If you want to know what I was going to say, remind me in an email, and I'll email you back what my train of thought was most likely going to be. But yeah, let me talk to you about a childhood experience that I had, okay? Now this is one of those things that we call, adverse childhood experiences, right? Now, adverse child experiences, often abbreviated with the acronym ACE, right? ACEs are events in a child's life that determine a lot in terms of the, you know, mental, physical health and development of the children, right? And so basically there's, you know, you can look this up. If you look up adverse childhood experiences, you'll get, you know, there's like quizzes that you can take, right? And so there's like, say, 7 or 8 questions. And if you answer yes to more than like 4 of them, then you are, you know, you've had, you know, high levels of adverse childhood experiences, right? And so, but it's on a spectrum, right? There are some that are very big, like having, you know, parents who are, you know, drug addicts, you know, who are not attentive to it at all, like that would be an adverse experience, but so would moving a lot, right? So one is certainly much different from the other, but that's the point, right? That's the point I'm trying to make, is that it's a cumulative, it's an aggregate, right? It's the combination of things that causes problems later on, right? And so I definitely encourage you to take that test. Go online, adverse childhood experiences, all right? Just look it up, and there's, like I said, it's free tests you can take, and just, you know, you just kind of, you know, you see where you're at with that, right? Because again, a lot of times, and this is the story I'm about to tell you here, a lot of times we look at our lives compared to others' lives, and we say, I don't have it that bad. And so who am I to complain? But the fact is that the aggregate of your not that bad experiences could add up to something that this is the reason why that thing always happens in your life, right? It's very possible that you are carrying a level of psychological pathology, right? And now the beautiful thing is that it's not irreversible, right? It's not to say that adverse childhood experiences are some kind of a death sentence, right? They are absolutely treatable, and they're, you know, or the you know, dysfunctionality or development issues that arise from them are certainly treatable. And like with mindfulness practices, right? It's very, very, you know, the help is there for you. Okay, so don't be afraid of it. Right? Because that's another thing, right? We oftentimes we don't want to go, right? Like you have that little pain in your tooth. You don't want to go to the dentist because you don't want it to be something big, right? You want to wait, see if it gets any worse. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just a thing, it'll pass, you know, that pain in our side. Like, oh my gosh, is that something really serious? I'd rather not know. Let me take an aspirin. Let me, you know, have a drink. Let me move past it, right? A lot of times that's what happens, right? And so some of your, you know, some of the experiences that you've lived through as a child, you know, might feel that way too, right? Like, I don't want to open that door because it's too scary, right? It's just, I don't know what's going to come out of there. I don't, you know, I'd rather not. Well, I understand. And yes, it is scary. And certainly, by all means, please, if there's, you know, if there's something, you know, bigger in there, you know, please, please, please be responsible and seek the help of a professional. Okay, not me. Like, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, but you know, if you find that you're really struggling with something like this, then please make a call. And there are online therapists now that you can pay like $30 and get a session with somebody, you know, tell like this, right? Either like this or through text or whatever. But do something, okay? Because, you know, because this the point is that whether it's a big thing, big trauma, or a very small trauma, it doesn't go away, right? It doesn't go away, and it influences everything that happens. It influences the way you perceive everything, and it influences the way you express everything, all right? And so it's really important to acknowledge the traumas that we've been through. But again, if we're talking about true trauma, and I'm using a very loose, you know, definition of the word trauma, right? Like, in the story I'm going to tell you right now will explain that, right? But if you feel that you are, you know, if some of your adverse childhood experiences were more, you know, serious, and on the podcast I'm putting the air quotes here, you know, if you were you know, the victim of any kind of sexual abuse, or the victim of any kind of you know, drug, you know, kind of thing, or anything that was, you know, please consider reaching out to a mental health professional. Okay, you know, this is Mental Health Month. It's a great time to explore this kind of stuff, but do it responsibly. Okay, do it with the help of a professional. Okay. So what I'm talking about here, right, is I'm talking about the lower levels of trauma. But again, what I'm speaking to the people who have these levels of trauma, who don't feel worthy of the help, right? Don't feel worthy of honoring that trauma, right? The people like me who look at their own trauma, and I'm going to put air quotes around the trauma, because again, we're talking about not big deal stuff, right? Kind of littler stuff, right? But again, accumulatively, they add up, and it affects me the same way that my friend is affected who grew up without parents, right? Like it's this, it's a relative difference, but it's the same impact on each of us. I hope that makes sense to you. And if it doesn't, please reach out to me, okay? Because this is important stuff. So let me, sorry, I just have to turn on my fan here. Let me tell you a story. Okay, so when I was about 12 years old, you know, I always look back on these things that happened to me as a kid, and I look at it like, wow, you know, my daughter is 12 years old now. So like she, like this is the person, you know, who would have been going through this, right? Man, it's tough. So I was 12 years old, about, and that was when the movie, actually, I think it was 13, because I was in my first year of high school, I believe. But that was when the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High came out, right? Jeff Spicoli was like my hero, you know. You know, I was among the crowd who, you know, were sneaking into their parents', you know, pot stash and smoking behind the school and stuff like that. You know, I was in that group. And so Jeff Spicoli was like our guy, you know. And Jeff, for all of you who don't remember the movie or never saw it, Jeff Spicoli is the burnout surfer dude played by Sean Penn as like a 17-year-old kid or something, and just hilarious, right? Like he orders a pizza to the classroom, you know. It's just like he's driving around this van with, you know, smoke billowing out of it and stuff, you know. So he was our hero, you know. And so Jeff Spicoli wore these shoes in the movie, and this was the first time you ever saw these shoes. Okay, now they're very, very popular. My niece has them, my daughter has them, you know, they're very popular. But they were the shoes called Vans, right, which are slip-on shoes. They're very popular with skateboarders and surfers and stuff. And so they're Vans, V-A-N-S, right? And for all, I mean, any of you who've lived under a rock for the last 20 years don't know what Vans are, but these Vans were very specific, right? The ones that Spicoli was wearing were the black and white checker Vans, right? Oh, they were so flipping cool, right? And so I wanted to get a pair. You know, we all wanted to get a pair, you know. And I'll be honest with you, and this definitely ties into the whole thing here. This whole story here is that, you know, I grew up with a level of privilege. I'm going to be honest with you there. I'm going to own that, you know. Not extraordinary privilege, right? Not like one percenter kind of thing, you know. But there was always money around for a $50 pair of shoes or whatever it was, right? Like $100 pair of shoes, whatever it was, right? Like that kind of stuff I always had very, you know, sort of easy access to, right? So there was a lot of other ways, you know, a lot of ways in which my parents were very, very cheap. And that was another part of my, that's part of the confusion of my trauma. We'll get into that in another episode. But these shoes, right? So I wanted these shoes so bad. So I asked my dad for the money, gave me the money. I went and bought the shoes and I was so excited about them, right? And so I was wearing them in my house, and and at this time, it's kind of important to understand that at this time, my parents, who had separated when I was about 4 years old, you know, they were getting together, and we moved back in with my dad, which caused like so many issues. I mean, I know it makes it sound like, oh, they got back together, how sweet. Yeah, it wasn't that sweet. It was kind of a mess. But anyway, so here we are in my dad's house now. You know, that was the thing. It was like his house, right? It was like, you know, we're pretty much guests, which was, again, an adverse childhood experience in and of itself, right? But I'm walking around the apartment in these shoes, right? And I'm so excited about these new shoes. And they're so awesome. And I'm so like, I'm just like wearing them like around the house because I can't take them off my feet because they're so effing cool, you know? And so my dad looks at me and he says, what's with those shoes? And I thought he was talking about the style. I was like, hey, you know, this is what it is. I mean, I told you, these are cool, aren't they? He says, no. What, aren't they big on you? I was like, I don't think so. It's like, they feel okay. It's like, no. Look at the way that your toe, you look at when you step, you see your toe is breaking and they're folding like that. You see, yeah, your shoes aren't supposed to do that. I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, no, they're too big for you. Whoever sold you those shoes just took your money. And he took advantage of you. He robbed you, was literally the way that he was talking to me, my father, and 13-year-old kid, 12-year-old kid, right? Just go back to that store right now and you get your money back. You get my money back, even better. It was probably what he said, right? I can't even tell you how much I loved these shoes, right? Like these shoes were everything to me. And here he is. And of course, I'm a 13-year-old boy. So guess what, genius Einstein? In 6 months, if they don't fit now, in 3 or 4 months, they're going to fit me because my body's growing every gosh darn day. But no, it was so upsetting to me. And it just created a fracture in me. And that's a real thing. And we can talk about that in another episode. And I have talked about that before, that all of us have these experiences in our childhood, right? That create fractures, right? And as adults, it a lot of it is about, you know, if we're going to become well and we're going to become, you know, whole again, it's about putting those pieces back together. The word heal means to make whole, originating from the Greek, right? And so this was devastating to me, devastating. And with my tail soundly between my legs, I walked back to that shoe store and I put the thing on there, and like feeling like a 3-year-old kid, not a 13-year-old, almost becoming a man, like a 3-year-old kid. My dad told me I have to give these back, you know, like that. It was, you know, now again, right? Now this is the point of the story, right? I had friends who were, you know, at that time, right? I had not quite that early, but like 2 years later, I had friends who were overdosing, right? Like I had friends whose dads were in jail. I had friends who you know, whose brothers were in jail, who older brothers were in jail, like for 10 years. Like, you know, I had friends who were living on, you know, food stamps and barely able to eat every day. I had friends who couldn't afford a new backpack, you know, for school. They were like, had duct tape wrapped around their backpack. You know, like I had people around me who were experiencing such deep levels of trauma. So these shoes, you know, I mean, it seems like silly to think of these shoes. Well, you know what? To this day, my friends, to this day, 52 years old, and I have the hardest time buying shoes that fit my feet. It's in there, you know, it's in there. And I go, and that's why I have a new policy. I have a policy, if not new, it's been for the last like 10 years that I buy shoes, and a strict rule that I do not wear them outside. I have to wear them in my house for like 2 days and say, nah, you see, these are too small. I need a half size up. But that's how much that got into me, right? That's how powerful that was for me. To feel that my shoes were wrong, like it shook everything that I knew, right? And so from that moment till today, I mean, we're talking about 40 years have gone by. I'm 52 years old now. 40 years later, I'm still struggling with the effects of that thing. And to my father, of course, that just seemed like a 5-minute. You know, like he was trying to be a dad. You know, it wasn't like he was trying to mess me up for the rest of my life. He just was very confused and just not really good at what he was doing. You know, it's not his fault necessarily, but, you know, he could try a little bit more, you know, try to read a book and, you know, try to, you know, learn, but like I am. You know, many of those books are parenting books because I refuse to repeat the same cycle that my parents had me through, right? So anyway, the point is, right, that this little, like if I just told a story, like I could tell that story at a party, right? And like many other stories I've told of my childhood, which are deeply, deeply painful, but I can tell them at a party and people will be like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like, you know, what a silly thing. You know, your dad's so goofy. Like, wow, you know, that was, or maybe they'll even say, well, that was crappy, but you know, oh, well, it's just a pair of shoes, right? You know? And that's the thing, right? Like you might have something in your life if you tell me about it at a party, and I might say, yeah, you know, that's, wow, bump in the road, huh? But to you, it's something that shakes, like you can't even buy a pair of shoes correctly, right? So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like I was held hostage in a shoe store and that's why I can't, you know, buy shoes properly. It wasn't like I was, you know, robbed and beaten to half to death, you know, because somebody was stealing my shoes and that's why I have an issue with shoes. It wasn't like I was, you know, attacked with a shoebox or something, right? There was no big fireworks, big, you know, thing. But yet this thing that is there continues to affect me. Continues to this day. And so this ties into the self-talk that we've been talking about here for the last couple of weeks, last few episodes anyway, right? That you know, that when we, you know, when we show, like when I can hold this in compassion, for myself, right? When I can hold myself, when I can say, because a lot of times it's an embarrassment. Even when I first, you know, started dating my wife, she used to like laugh at me like, what the hell is it with you and shoes? You can't buy shoes. What's the matter with you? And at the time I was laughing it off too, but inside I was crying like a baby. And so it's really about, you know, turning into yourself, turning towards yourself, turning towards that pain and that trauma and that difficulty with which you endured as a child or as at any point during your life, right? But it's about turning towards it and saying, hey, you know, that really was very, very hard. Much harder than many other people looking at it from the outside would think it is. But it was really, really hard what you went through. There was suffering. And it wasn't fair. And then you can think, you know, one of the, you know, next sort of evolution of that sort of, you know, practice for yourself is to, you know, once you've acknowledged and turned towards your own suffering and name it, right? Name it. Yeah, you know what? That thing that happened to me when I was 13 years old, that was really hard. And it's continued to make me suffer. Now, I can turn and I can say, you know what? There's probably a lot of other people who are like me suffering with these things that seem too insignificant. They seem too little to make a big deal out of them. But yet, we're all suffering from them, right? So this suffering doesn't cut me off from the rest of the world. It actually connects me to the rest of the world. And then, once I've done those two things, now I can say to myself, dude, yeah, this is hard, and it's okay, and I'm here with you, right? I understand how hard it is for you. I understand how much you want to cry even right now talking about it. I understand how much it hurts what that man did. Even though he didn't lay a hand on you, even though he didn't, you know, you didn't bleed, you didn't bruise, you didn't, nothing broke. But he hurt you. And I'm here for you, right? I'm here to give you a hug when you need it. You know, I'm here to hold you. I'm here to support you. And I'm not going to turn away from you anymore. I'm going to honor this. You know, we're going to honor that little boy in you that still suffers from this. And we're going to try to make him, we're going to try to help him to heal. And in the meantime, we're going to be patient with him. And when it's time to go buy shoes, we're going to take extra time. We're going to go by ourselves to the shoe store or with somebody to support us, right? Or we're going to figure out ways to logistically work around this so that we can live in the world, right? But we're the time of turning away from it and the time of being embarrassed about it and the time of being ashamed about it, those days are over because I'm here with you now, okay? I see it and I'm never going to not see it again. I invite you to do that for whatever your thing is. And now again, I'm going to repeat. If you're talking about your thing that has been buried for a long time includes some kind of, you know, physical, emotional trauma on a true scale, I'm begging of you to seek out some professional help to deal with that, okay? In addition to this, right, still do this stuff, but work with a professional. It's important. And if you want to talk about that, call me, okay? Set up a call in the link in the description. There'll be a link to go into my calendar and book your space. Like you have a session that's already yours. All you got to do is book it, and you can do that with the link that's in the description. All right, everybody. I wish you well. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's a little weird for me, and I'll be back again tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Bye bye.